Lewis had never stolen a starship before, but in his experience, it wasn't that difficult. It happened all the time when he was a Paragon, which was how he came to know all the tricks, all the ways of walking past a ship's security systems like they weren't even there. There were all kinds of precautions ship owners could take to prevent this, but mostly they never bothered, because it was expensive. Better to let the ship and cargo be stolen, and then pad your insurance claim. So Lewis wasn't expecting any trouble when he and Jess strode confidently into the starport terminal. Sneaking past the security men was the easiest part. Lewis knew all the blind spots, all the weaknesses in the system. He'd been trying to get them fixed for years. He suspected they were left open deliberately, so certain criminal elements could use them for smuggling and other scams, but he'd never been able to prove it, because he never had the time. As he told Emma Steele on her arrival, you couldn't sweat the small stuff, or you'd never get anything done. And now here he was, taking advantage of the very loopholes he tried to shut down, and proving he was right all along. Sometimes the air in his life was so thick with irony, he could almost chew on it. He and Jess were doing really well, right up until they had to pass the very last security check at the edge of the landing pads. Lewis could see the ships from where he was, standing unsuspecting under the bright lights on the pads, like so many tourists waiting to be pickpocketed. Lewis wasn't expecting any trouble. It was just one bored security guard, sitting behind a desk with a vid soap running on his security monitor. Lewis and Jessamine's hollow faces matched the fake IDs he'd brought with him from his lockup, and he'd already removed the security seals from his energy weapon so it wouldn't set off any alarms. An old prerogative allowed to all Paragons for when they had to work undercover. But when he and Jessamine passed entirely casually through the metal detector arch, their hollow disguises sparked and shimmered and shorted out. He'd been so concerned over his various hidden weapons and tech that he'd forgotten all about the metal hollow face collars he and Jessamine both wore. The guard behind the desk took one look at Lewis's familiar ugly face.
Oh, God.
Damn.
Lewis grabbed Jessamine by the arm and urged her on through towards the landing pads.
What is it? What just happened?
I screwed up. Now run! We can still make it to the ships.
They sprinted through the last part of the terminal, and people scattered to get out of their way. Lewis had his gun openly in his hand now, and did his best to look like he was ready to use it. People recognized his face, but no one tried to stop them. Lewis burst out onto the landing pads, with Jessamine at his side.
Damn!
Forming up between him and Jessamine and the rows of waiting starships were hundreds of armed men, hurrying in from all directions. Lewis dragged Jessamine back into the terminal doorway, where the steel glass windows would at least give them some protection. Jessamine jerked her arm free.
Stop yanking me about! I'm not a child! Talk to me!
Lewis activated the force shield on his wrist, and the glowing force shield sprang into being on his left arm.
Sorry. A bit preoccupied at the moment.
Who the hell are those men? They've all got guns, but none of them are wearing uniforms. Damn it, I knew I should have insisted we stop off long enough to get me a gun or two.
They're not peacekeepers or port security, and they look far too professional for local bounty hunters. So, best guess, they're pure humanity fanatics. Same bastards who hunted down the Ecstatics. They've already demonstrated they have no problem killing Paragons at the Neumann riot. So an ex-champion shouldn't bother them at all. I suppose I should be flattered they sent so many men after me. This is really bad, Jess. Not just the odds, well, they're pretty bad too. Peacekeepers or security men might have been willing to take us alive. These creeps won't do that. Someone really wants us dead.
He looked at her sadly.
You should run, Jess. I'll hold them back. Give you time to get away. It's stupid for both of us to die here.
Don't talk like that! We'll get out of this. You're the Death Stalker, remember? And I'd rather die with you than live without you. Never thought of myself as the sentimental kind, but I suppose you learn something new every day. Now stop being chivalrous and work out a way to kill those bastards!
Lewis grinned, drew two of his throwing knives from their hiding places, and offered them to Jessamine.
Can you fight, Jess?
You bet your ass, Deathstalker. Some of the pigsties I played when I was starting out, you didn't dare leave your dressing room to go to the toilet unless you were armed to the teeth and willing to fight dirty. I've always been able to look out for myself.
Well, that's good to know. Guard my back, Jess. Don't show them any mercy, because they sure as hell won't be showing us any. I could see half a dozen ships my skeleton key should be able to get us into. We're going to have to fight our way through those bastards to get to them. The odds are bad, but they won't be expecting a frontal attack, so a surprise will be on our side. But Jess, once we start, we can't stop. We run for the ships, and whatever happens, we keep going. Because either we fight our way through, or we die out there on the pads.
God, you're a cheerful bastard to be around. You'd better not be this moody at breakfast.
Jessamine looked at the small army of assassins heading their way and hefted her knives uncertainly.
We're really going to meet them head on? Just the two of us?
Of course. It's the Deathstalker way.
Then it's a wonder you're not all extinct. All right, let's do it before I get a rush of sanity to the head.
They both took a deep breath and then charged out of the terminal and onto the pads.
Chandrakor! Chandrakor!
The assassins heard the magnificent old Deathstalker battle cry, and many of them stumbled to a halt, their hearts missing a beat. Several turned and ran. It was one thing to agree to kill a traitor on the run, and quite another to face the most famous battle cry in Empire history. Many of the Neumann fanatics were ex-military, trained and experienced men, but still they felt a sudden chill seize their hearts as they remembered their opponent was a paragon and a champion and a Deathstalker. For a moment, the shadow of the Blessed Owen fell upon them, and they were on the brink of falling apart. And then their angry new faith reasserted itself as they remembered this was Lewis, not Owen. They stood their ground and took aim. Lewis had used the time of their confusion to build up some speed and was almost upon them, Jessamine right behind him. Energy bolts seared past him, some ricocheting from his force shield, and then he hit the first ranks of the assassins like a hammer blow. The energy beam punched right through the chest of the man before him and howled on to blow away two more men behind him. Lewis hacked viciously about him with his sword, and the assassins could not stand against him, falling dead and dying at his feet, unable to face the Deathstalker's rage and skill and experience. His gun recharged. He swung his sword and used the razor-sharp edges of his force shield, and men bled and screamed and died. Jessamine stuck in close behind him, guarding his back with her sharp knives and the street-fighting skills of her youth that she'd never really forgotten. The Neumann assassin circled her and Lewis, looking startled and even frightened. But in the end, there were just too many fanatics, and they slowly dueled Lewis to a halt, far short of the waiting starships. He was the better fighter by far, but they wore him down by sheer numbers. They didn't want to use their guns in such a close press of bodies, and in the end, they didn't have to. Swords came flashing at Lewis from all directions, and his blade and his force shield couldn't be everywhere at once. They cut at him again and again, nothing serious as yet, but his blood ran. He gritted his teeth and wouldn't allow them the victory of a groan or a cry. He killed the men who came to kill him with casual, almost contemptuous skill, but not even a paragon and a champion and a Deathstalker could stand against so many. Because he was Lewis, and only a hero, not a legend. And then, there was a sudden commotion from the far side of the battle. Something hit the assassins hard from the other side. The assassins lost their focus as men flew through the air, without heads and trailing ripped out intestines, as Saturday, the reptiloid from the planet Shard, tore through an army of foes with delighted ferocity. 8 feet tall and bulging with muscles under his bottle green scales, designed by evolution to be his world's greatest killing machine. Saturday slaughtered everyone before him. Swords broke and shattered on his armored hide, and human blood ran thickly from his horrid jaws and dripped from his heavy clawed hands. He looked over the heads of the panicked assassins to Lewis and Jessamine.
There's a ship to your right, the Hero Word. Get to her. Hatches are open and she's all set to go. Get aboard and power up. I'll join you as soon as I've shown these pure humanity scumbags just what an alien can do if he gets annoyed enough. Blood! Blood and souls for Shard! I'll show you little turds who's the true superior species around here!
He raged among the Neumann, tearing them apart and throwing the body pieces joyfully through the air. Most of the fanatics turned and ran. It didn't save them. Lewis and Jessamine left Saturday to it, and headed for the ship he'd indicated. It was a luxury racing yacht, all gleaming lines and bulging engines. Lewis hadn't a clue why the ship should be waiting for him, but he was tired and battered and bloody enough not to give a damn. He grinned shakily. A mere two battles against overwhelming odds in one day, and he was exhausted. Owen used to do this sort of thing just to warm up, according to the legends. Lewis was almost at the ship when he stumbled to a halt, as a new figure came forward to block his way. Lewis covered the newcomer with his gun as he studied him, trying to get his ragged breathing under control. Jessamine moved in beside him, unobtrusively supporting him while she glared at the new enemy. He stood tall and proud in his paragon's armor and flapping purple cloak, big and muscular, with sword and gun already in hand. His stern young face was almost familiar to Lewis.
I get the feeling I should know you.
Of course you should. I'm Stuart Lennox. I'm Viramon's new paragon. Drop your weapons and surrender, Sir Deathstalker. Don't make me kill you.
Lennox?
Jesus, of course I know you, Stuart. Your father Adrian helped to train me back on Mistworld. He used to bring him his lunch and watch his train back when you were a kid.
So, you're my replacement. The boy didn't waste any time.
I don't suppose there's any point in my trying to convince you my innocence.
None of my business. I know my duty. Your treason can be decided at your trial. Don't try to appeal to our shared past. I've seen the recording of you and the woman. You have disgraced your world, as well as your king.
Everything's so clear-cut when you're young.
All the things I've done down the years, for my world and my king, they don't matter anymore? They don't count?
No. Just shows how far you've fallen.
You can't beat me.
Why not? We both had the same trainer. Well, you have the years and the experience, but I have right and honor on my side.
And while he was still talking, a long, green-scaled arm came out of nowhere. Vicious silver claws slammed into Stuart's side and out again. He lay still in a spreading pool of blood. Saturday emerged from the shadows under the Hereward's hull.
If you're going to fight, fight! Talk afterwards! If you're still alive! Deathstalker, what are you doing? The ship is waiting!
But Lewis had already left him behind. He hurried over to the still figure in the ruptured paragon armor and knelt beside him. He cut away a length of the purple cloak, made a pad of it, and pushed it firmly into the bloody gap in the armor, sealing off the wound. Stuart stiffened, and sweat popped out all over his face. Lewis used more of the cloak to make a pillow under the young man's head. The paragon's face was bone white now. Blood sprayed from his mouth with every exhalation. Lewis accessed his comm implant and opened the paragon's emergency channel.
Paragon down. Stuart Lennox at the main starport. He's badly hurt, so get people here fast. He's gonna need a regen tank.
He cut off before they could ask any questions and looked down at his replacement.
Hang in there, Stuart. Help's on its way. Don't worry, it looks bad. And I'm sure it hurts like hell, but it won't kill you. An hour in regen and you'll be as good as new.
Why are you helping me?
Because I'm not the man they told you I was.
Always did think Dubois was full of shit, but I had to do my duty.
Of course you did.
If this doesn't work out, get word to my dad that I did my best.
You tell him yourself. Lennox family don't die this easily.
Lewis! Port security will be here any minute. We have to go.
I have to go.
Of course you do. Dad sends his best. Now get out of here before I have to arrest you. And give him hell, Deathstalker.
Lewis got up and walked away from him. And it was the hardest thing he'd had to do all day. Saturday and Jessamine were waiting for him by the Hereward's hatch. Lewis looked dispassionately at the blood still dripping from the reptiloid's claws.
You should have let me finish him.
What are you doing here, Saturday? What's the deal with this ship?
I'm here to join up with you. I want to see some real action, test myself against some real challenges. That is why I left Shard, after all. I don't like it here on Logos anymore. They've all gone crazy. There's no honor in fighting crazy people. So I'm coming with you. To fight at your side against overwhelming odds. That is the Deathstalker tradition, yes? Then on! On to death or glory!
Lewis was honestly lost for anything to say. He was still trying to come up with an answer when a new face appeared, peering hesitantly and just a little twitchily out of the Hereward's open hatch. He bobbed his head respectfully to Lewis and then to Jessamine and tried to smile, though it wasn't especially successful.
Hi there! I'm Brett Random. Your ancestor knew my ancestor, Sir Deathstalker. Seems we're fated to work together too.
If I knew where to go, I'd complain. You would too if you knew me.
I think you probably know my companion.
Oh, Jesus.
Everyone knows the Wild Rose of the Arena. I think I felt safer with the Reptiloid. Do I take it you both want to join up as well?
Oh, yes. Yes, we believe in you. And we have enemies in common. Most definitely including Thin-Bloody Durandal. May his balls drop off in the night, roll down a bed and catch fire. I acquired the access codes to this rather nifty little ship from someone who doesn't know they're missing yet, but I don't know how long that will last, so I really think we should get moving. Really. The ship's all powered up and ready to go, assuming you've got some sort of destination in mind.
Brett Random. I'm almost sure I know that name. From somewhere.
I really think we should get moving. The city's wild with the news about you breaking Jessamine out of the bloody tower. Parliament's organized everyone breathing an arm to stop you getting off-world, and you can bet every damn one of them is on his way here right now.
The disruptor beam ricocheted from Lewis's force shield to blow a crater out of the landing pad right next to them. Rose grabbed Brett and pulled him back inside the ship. Lewis and Jessamine and Saturday scattered to make separate targets as Finn Durandal roared by overhead on his gravity sled. He'd been too eager, too anticipatory of the kill. He'd fired on Lewis without checking his sensors to see whether the Deathstalker's force shield was still on, and now his prey were moving too quickly and too randomly for a ship's guns to track. Perhaps deep down he hadn't wanted to kill Lewis from a distance. Perhaps he needed to go one-on-one with the Deathstalker, face-to-face and blade-to-blade, to prove that he was the better man after all, in the only way that mattered. Lewis, as always, was more practical. He turned to follow Finn's sled as it passed by overhead. The energy bolt hit the sled's unprotected engine at the rear. The sled was thrown from the sky. Unfortunately, the sled was already sufficiently low enough that Finn was able to leap free, even as the deck of his gravity sled disintegrated under him in smoke and flames. He dropped down through the billowing fireball, wrapped in his cloak, hit the landing pad in a graceful tuck and roll, and was back on his feet, even as the remains of his sled slammed into the pads and exploded 20 feet away. Finn advanced on the waiting Lewis, with sword and gun already in his hand, a wide grin on his face, and a wild light in his eyes. Lewis gestured sharply for Saturday and Jessamine to keep their distance. Finn stopped a few feet short of Lewis, and the two men studied each other for a while.
This is all down to you, isn't it? Right from the beginning. Everything that's happened, everything that's gone wrong, all your fault.
Oh, yes. I destroyed you just like I'll destroy Douglas when I'm ready, and eventually the Empire. And why? Because I want to. Because I can.
I thought you were my friend, Finn.
You always were naive, Lewis.
So why are you here now? Why have you stepped out of the shadows at last?
This had to happen. The hero meets the villain in the final confrontation. Except, of course, in everyone else's eyes, I'm the hero and you're the villain. I'm even wearing the hero's armor. And may I say, it looks a lot better on me than it ever did on you.
That's because you have no sense of irony. But you're right. There is a certain inevitability about this. I couldn't leave Logris without taking care of unfinished business. Without taking care of you. One last duty on my part. To save Douglas and the Empire from the viper at their bosom.
Oh, typical of a Death Stalker. You have to overdramatize this. Make it significant. It's just you and me, Lewis. Fighting it out at last to prove which of us is the better man. Just as I planned.
Typical of you. You couldn't risk a fair fight. You had to cheat. Didn't dare show yourself until after I'd exhausted myself fighting the army of assassins you sent here.
Well, quite. I'm not stupid. Unlike some people, I always think ahead. Now come on. Enough talk. Let's fight. Let's dance the dance of blood and death. You must have wondered down the years what would happen if the two greatest paragons on Logres ever went head to head. You must have wondered which of us really was the best.
No, I never did. That's the difference between us, Finn. I never gave the matter a moment's thought. All I ever cared about was doing my job, to the best of my abilities. Not to show how good I was, but to help the people who needed help. To protect the innocent and punish the guilty. And that is what's brought us here, Finn. No great battle between hero and villain. No legendary mythic clash of titans. I just have to be a paragon one last time. Protect the innocent by killing the man who threatens their safety. One last duty before I can leave. I have to take out the trash.
Finn's face flushed angrily. Lewis had been expecting Finn's attack, and his force shield was already there to block the blow. Their swords slammed together so hard, sparks flew on the air. And then it was stamp and lunge, parry and thrust, all at dazzling speed. Two men circling each other with a lifetime's experience and deadly skill. Two men who had once been partners, if not actually friends, and were now so opposed that this was all they had left in common, the need to kill each other. They threw themselves against each other again and again, eager as lovers, hating each other with a cold, focused flame that could only be soothed by the other's blood. And surprisingly soon, Lewis beat aside Finn's blade, lunged forward, and the tip of his sword dug a deep rent through the champion's black leather armor, neatly bisecting the stylized bas-relief crown over his heart. Finn backed away. Lewis grinned at him like a wolf, his ugly face alive with anticipation.
In the end, Finn, it doesn't matter a damn who's fastest or strongest or more experienced, or who could afford to spend the most on personal trainers. What matters is passion, commitment, and a faith in what you're fighting for. You never had any of those things, Finn. All you ever had was you. And that's not enough when you're facing a Death Stalker.
Finn looked into Lewis's eyes and had to look away, unable to face what he saw there. Lewis stepped forward, and Finn turned and ran. Lewis watched him run for a moment, and then raised his gun. He'd never shot a man in the back before, but for Finn Girondal, for all the things that man had done, he would make an exception. But already there were shouts and alarms from all over the landing pads, and everywhere armed men were running towards him. Uniformed peacekeepers and security men this time.
Lewis! Come on, it's over! We're leaving!
Lewis nodded slowly and lowered his gun. There would be other times. He turned away and boarded the yacht. It was every bit as luxurious as he'd expected, though the tiny bridge was more than a little cramped with four people and an 8-foot reptiloid crammed into it. Lewis took the pilot seat and called up the ship's AI.
Greetings. I am your ship's AI, Ozymandias by name, and I just want to say how delighted I am to be working with a Deathstalker again. Of course, I'm not exactly the same AI your ancestor Owen knew. Shep created my personality around what was left of the original AI and downloaded me into this ship so I could help you with this escape. They're really very keen that you should escape. Shep believes in Deathstalkers. They can get really sloppy and sentimental these days when no one's looking. So, where are we going first?
On Sealy. The Ashrae don't like the Empire, so they should be willing to keep our presence there a secret. Assuming they don't kill us all out of hand, of course. And since not many people know about Carrion's involvement with my ancestor Owen, it won't be the first place Finn will think to look for us. I want to talk to Carrion, to speak to someone who was actually there. Someone who knew the real Owen, and who might know what actually happened to him.
Excuse me, I didn't understand one word of what you just said there.
Don't worry, it will all become horribly clear as we go along. Now strap yourself into the crash weapon, all of you. Saturday, improvise. Oz, plot a course.
You do know Unseelie is quarantined.
We'll burn that bridge when we come to it. I think Carrion and the Ashrae will listen to me. I have Owen's ring.
You do?
Brett leaned eagerly forward to stare at the black gold ring on Lewis's finger.
Damn!
You do? You know, when this is all over, I know people who would pay you a really nice price for that ring.
You'll have to excuse Brett. It's either that or kill him.
Everybody grab hold of something. My sensors are picking up all kinds of ships and armed forces heading right for us. If we don't leave right now, Lewis, we're not going anywhere.
Then go! Blast us out of here! Don't stop for anything! And drop into hyperspace the moment it's practical.
Sounds like a plan to me.
The Hereward's engines roared, and the ship threw itself up into the sky. Energy beams from approaching ships flared all around the yacht, lighting up the darkness as it howled through the last of the planet's atmosphere.
Deja vu all over again.
It was a very fast ship, and they were gone and disappeared into hyperspace long before anyone could stop them. Lewis Deathstalker, Jessamine Flowers, Brett Random, Rose Constantine, a reptiloid called Saturday, and an AI called Ozymandias. Perhaps the only heroes left in a darkening empire. Deathstalker Legacy, The Better Part of Valor, is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2002, Simon R. Green. Production copyright 2007, The Cutting Corporation, all rights reserved. Performed by Richard Rowan, Michael Glenn, David Coyne, Vanessa Benjamin, Sonny Lasky, Corey James, Nanette Savard, Terrence Aselford, Colleen Delaney, James Konacek, Chris Rowan, and Tim Carlin. Directed by Rick Rowan. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing by Brian Rogers. Graphic audio sound design by Chris Rowan and Dan Smith. The Deathstalker Legacy theme was composed by Dan Smith. If you enjoyed Deathstalker Legacy, be sure to look for the graphic audio version of DC Comics Infinite Crisis, available at Roadstops Everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net.
Made mistakes sometimes, but it was nothing like what's happening here. Things have gotten out of hand on this Earth. You have.
Coming soon to Graphic Audio.
This wasn't supposed to happen.
The biggest event in DC Comics history.
Look what's going on across the globe, Bruce. Do you really believe that humanity is going to rise above it themselves?
Will be the biggest event in audiobooks.
This is war.
Graphic Audio presents...
The day I long feared has come.
DC Comics...
Lex Luthor cannot be brought low like this!
Infinite Crisis...
This looks like a job for...
The movie is in your mind. www.graphicaudio.net
Infinite Crisis and all related titles, characters, and elements are trademarks of DC Comics. Copyright 2007, DC Comics.
The United States of America, land of opportunity, prosperity, and freedom. All of this ended in a flash of nuclear fire. Now, 100 years later, the Soviet Empire rules all. But a loose confederation of secret free American cities awaits its time to rise and strike.
Rock! Get out!
They will be led by one man. That man is Ted Roczen, the Doomsday Warrior.
Keep firing! How many do you have left?
Two.
Me too. One, three. One, two, three!
Think that's all of them?
Let me see. Yeah. That's quite a mess we've made.
The Reds now have the Mindbreaker.
Don't you see that device near you? The chair? Won't you have a seat?
We must immediately mount a rescue operation and attack.
I want them off the ground in 3 minutes. We will use 2 of the neutron bombs I have stored away just for this eventuality.
We already know they made Preston talk. We saw what the result of that was. Every minute could mean the difference between life and death for every man, woman, and child in Century City.
Come on, let's go.
So! The truck's gonna get to us soon!
We have a situation here in America. A critical one.
Never mind!
Cue Ted Roxon.
Free is beyond what is here around you now. You must look beyond, beyond the destroyed land, beyond this fort, and see the new world that was and will be again.
Doomsday Warrior, on Graphic Audio, a movie in your mind.
Fire! Holy shit.
Yeah, I packed the explosive shells. Hope you didn't mind.
Available now.
If you can't find that hot Graphic Audio title you're looking for, just head to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD or MP3 disc format. Or, the fastest and cheapest way, download that puppy and play it on any of the many devices that'll play Windows Media. And if you're on the road or just a total computer feeb, snatch up the phone and call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220 or www.graphicaudio.net.